This morning, we're going to wrap up our Beatitude series by talking about persecution. I'm sure for many of us, talking about persecution seems like an odd way to wrap up a series. It seems like a really odd way to wrap up a Beatitude series where you're talking about being blessed. But yet, that's exactly what Jesus does. As he brings these Beatitudes to a close, he has the courage to teach his disciples, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy are those who suffer for Jesus." In order for us to see how that could possibly be true, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 this morning. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you this morning, we encourage you to grab one of the black Bibles that should be either in front or in the chair in front of you or in the chair in front of your neighbor. And once again, we're going to be in Matthew. If you've never been in Matthew before, if you happen to grab a small print version of these black Bibles, we'll be on page 810. If you grab a large print, we'll be on page 962. And I encourage you to turn there with us. I'll give you a moment to find Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, and then I'll read the next three verses for us when you do. My wife is helping me out with getting the ESV translation here, so thank you very much. All right, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. As we study this passage this morning, the first thing we need to know is, what does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Because I believe that many of us actually have a more broad definition of what it means to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. So real quickly, here are three things that Jesus does not mean here in Matthew. First, he's not referring to being persecuted, persecution suffered for a political position. In other words, if you and I are attacked for advocating a particular candidate, for advocating for a specific issue, or for belonging to a particular political party. That's not what Jesus is referring to. The blessing does not apply. And now, in saying that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't advocate for political things, that you shouldn't get involved in politics, that you shouldn't bring Christian influence into that sphere. What I am simply saying is that if you desire to suffer for a political cause, that's more than fine. Just do not have a grudge against God if this blessing does not turn out to be true for you, okay? Secondly, Jesus does not mean persecution suffered for a cause in general. Now, there are times when those two line up, such as years ago when several Christians worked together to bring about the abolition of slavery. So they saw that each person was created in the image of God and should have dignity and should be treated fairly. And so they worked in the name of Jesus to end slavery. But there are many times when we fight for causes that don't have direct ties to Scripture, such as a fight for gun rights or food safety or educational reform. And once again, it's not that we shouldn't fight for those things, or we shouldn't advocate for those things, depending on your position. And if you desire to suffer for those causes, that is fine. But Jesus is not saying that this promise in Matthew 5 is true for you because of your efforts. If you suffer persecution from others because of those efforts, Jesus is not saying that you will be blessed because of it. Finally, Jesus is not referring to suffering persecution for being a jerk. There are times when you and I bring unnecessary suffering upon ourselves. It's times when we're choosing to be selfish, we're being stubborn, we're being racist, or we're saying something that is just flat out offensive. And what we tend to do is we tend to say, you know what, you're just doing that to me because I'm a Christian. No, they're doing that to you because you're being a jerk. And there is a huge difference between living in light of the gospel, which is offensive to the world, and simply being offensive to others. The former is living for Christ, the latter is being a jerk. And Jesus is absolutely not saying here in Matthew that you will be blessed if you suffer persecution for being a jerk. So now let's determine what Jesus truly means here in this passage. And to put it as simply as we can, a definition for persecuted for righteousness. So persecuted for righteousness' sake refers to suffering endured because we are living the way Jesus did. In the immediate context of Matthew 5, we can get a glimpse of what this all looks like. It's the former Beatitudes that have preceded this one. It means we're suffering because we're being poor in spirit instead of prideful about our condition before God. It's because we're mourning sin instead of enjoying it. It's because we're showing meekness, that we're hungering and thirsting to be more like Jesus, that we're showing mercy instead of withholding forgiveness, that we are suffering because we desire to not engage in sin in order to stay pure at heart, and we're seeking to be peacemakers with others rather than live in conflict. And Jesus is saying, if we live our lives like that, if that's the fruit of what God has done in us and we suffer because of it, then we are blessed. And there are many Christian men and women all around the world who are suffering persecution even now as we sit here, because they are living for Jesus in these ways. There are Christians who are being cast out of families in India because they've decided to follow Jesus instead of the Hindu gods. There are Christians who are being thrown into prison because they continue to gather for worship on Sunday, even when the Chinese government forbids it. There are Christians in the Middle East and many other African countries who are being murdered because they would choose to worship Jesus and follow him even unto death instead of worshiping Allah. But this is not all the persecution that one can experience. You and I can and should experience persecution even here in the United States. You and I may be ridiculed by our families for choosing to worship Jesus. We may be benched on sports teams because we choose to be here on a Sunday rather than participate in a practice or a game. Some of us may have been the source of conversations at work that we take our Christianity a bit too far because we don't cheat the system like other employees do. We may be called prude by friends because we don't laugh at sexually offensive or racist jokes. We may even be persecuted by fellow Christians within the church who take offense that we are living for Jesus a little bit more seriously than what they are willing to go. But the reality for many of us is that not only do we tend to be fearful of what other people in the world are experiencing in terms of persecution, but many of us are fearful of experiencing even the lighter forms of persecution that we experience here in America. And that brings us to our first point today, which has to do with our sin. That we would much rather be liked and accepted by others than live for Jesus and suffer persecution. Once again, we would much rather be liked and accepted by others than live for Jesus and suffer persecution. And don't get me wrong, I do believe that those who are claiming to be Christians here today are living like Jesus to a certain degree. The fact that you are here choosing to worship Jesus on a Sunday morning shows that you're willing to follow Jesus to a certain degree. But I also believe that all of us have that one point where we say, you know what, I will follow Jesus unless he asks me to do that. And for some of us, we reach that point very quickly. We say, you know what, I don't really want to suffer at all for Jesus, and so anything that causes me to be rejected or suffer, no. But some of us, that point goes a little bit farther. Yeah, I'm willing to be rejected. I'm willing to suffer for that. I'm willing to suffer for that. I'm willing to give that up. Oh, but not that. I'm not willing to lose that in my life. I'm not willing to lose that person in my life. I'm not willing to put that thing on the line. That all of us have this point. And it's usually when living for Jesus means what we see in verse 11. That others will revile and persecute us and utter all kinds of evil against us. In other words, for many of us, we will live for Jesus until that point when others reject us or make fun of us or treat us poorly. We'll live for Jesus until it means putting our jobs on the line, our health on the line, our way of living on the line, our relationships and friendships with others on the line. You and I may not care if living for Jesus means that some person 1,000 miles away does not like what we have to say on social media. But we often do care if living for Jesus means that our best friend no longer wants to hang out with us, or thinks we're weird, or talks about us behind our backs. And so when these moments arise, you and I tend to shy away from living for Jesus in order to avoid suffering persecution. And in doing so, we declare with our lives that we would much rather be rejected by Jesus than we would be rejected by others. I think the reason for that is the tangibleness of it, because we understand that, you know, if I reject Jesus today, he'll probably still forgive me tomorrow, whereas I may lose my friend forever. Or this friend is here and now, and I have a friendship with them, and I want their acceptance now, but Jesus, it just feels like this is more of an eternal thing, more of a thing that I can work out later on in life. Whatever the reason, you and I often would much rather be liked and accepted by others than live for Jesus and suffer persecution. But as we see each and every week from God's Word, there is good news for us despite our sin. Despite the fact that we often reject God in order to keep the favor of others, we have a Savior who did the opposite. Isaiah 53:3 says of Jesus that he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Jesus was absolutely perfect. Full of gentleness, full of meekness, more loving than anyone who has ever lived. And yet the world rejected him. He was despised by religious leaders. He was mocked by Roman soldiers. He was hunted down. He was sold into slavery. He was beaten and crucified. All so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be made right with God, so that we could believe the good news that we have heard today. And that brings us to the good news of the gospel. That Jesus suffered persecution and rejection by men so that you and I could be loved and accepted by God. Once again, Jesus suffered persecution and rejection by men so that you and I could be loved and accepted by God. So before you and I would begin to question, what is the purpose of persecution? God, why do you cause us to suffer persecution for the Christian faith? If you were really a good God, you would think that he would just make the path of following Jesus nice and easy and straight. So before we question God on that, let's pause and realize that without persecution, without Jesus suffering for living for a righteousness' sake, you and I wouldn't be saved from our sin. If Jesus had not suffered what he had suffered, if he had chose to be loved and accepted by the religious leaders, if he had chose to blend in, then you and I would most likely not be here today. And for sure, none of us would have our names written in the book of life. For any who are here today who are still deciding whether to follow Jesus or not, who are still weighing the cost, if I follow Jesus, what's the cost to me? I actually pray this morning that you would know that the cost is great. That following Jesus is not easy. And it will most likely mean that at some point in time, you will lose family members, you will lose friends, you will have to change your way of living, And you will probably be mocked and teased for the decisions that you make. Count the cost. But I also pray this morning that God would show you clearly that it is all worth it. I pray that He would show you that it is far better to be rejected by men than it is to be rejected by God. I pray that He would show you that it is far better to be loved by a perfect and holy God than it is to be loved by anyone here on this earth. And I pray that He would show you that an eternity of acceptance by God is far greater than 70 to 80 years of acceptance by those you love here on earth. I pray that He would show you what a great Savior Jesus is and His willingness to suffer persecution so that you can know God today. And I pray that after God shows you all this, that you will count your cost and put your faith in Jesus this morning. Do you believe that these words up on the screen are true for you? That Jesus suffered for you. He suffered so that you could be loved and accepted by God. And that even as you know the cost, that you would be willing and ready to live for Jesus. And church, may that last statement be true for all of us this morning. May we all be willing to live for Jesus regardless of the cost. May we all see and understand that it is far better to be loved and accepted by Him than it is to be loved and accepted by others. So now, having been reminded of our sin and the good news of the gospel, let's move on to how Jesus wants us to apply this passage this morning. First, as we look at this passage and others across Scripture, we see two realities that need to sink deep down into our hearts this morning. First, that all followers of Jesus will suffer persecution. And secondly, that suffering this persecution is cause for rejoicing. First up, we see that all followers of Jesus will suffer persecution. And now there may be some of you that want to push back on that and say, you know what, I've been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years. I've never experienced a day of persecution in my life. I don't believe number one is true. And I'll stand by what number one says on the screen. And the reason for that is because it's what Jesus says is true. In John 15, Jesus says to His disciples, these followers of Jesus, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. If you are loved and liked by everyone, Jesus is saying it's a sign that you're not following Him. He says, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will persecute you also. We've seen today that they persecuted Jesus. That the first part of that last statement is true. And it then follows that we will suffer persecution as well. All followers of Jesus will suffer persecution. Elsewhere, Paul writes, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone who wants to live for Jesus will suffer persecution. And the reason is that the gospel is offensive to the world. The gospel teaches us to forgive when the world tells us to hold on to grudges. The gospel teaches us to be generous when the world tells us to accumulate possessions. The gospel teaches us to love our enemies when the world tells us to tear them down. The gospel teaches us to trust Jesus for our salvation when the world tells us that if we just try hard enough, we can do anything we desire. And therefore, if you and I live in light of the gospel, if we are living for Jesus, we are going to offend the world. And if we see anything in our world today, we would see that if we offend the world, if we offend anyone, we're going to suffer because of it. Therefore, what Jesus says is most certainly true, that if we are truly following Jesus, if we're truly living in light of the gospel, we're going to offend people who don't like that their sin is being exposed, that don't like that their beliefs may not be true. And they're going to cause us to suffer. Over the years, church, I've yet to have my life be put on the line for my faith. I've yet to be cast out of my family, although there's still time, I'm sure, for that. And I've yet to be put in prison. But I have been called a bigot for taking a stance on biblical marriage. I've been told that I am unloving for keeping certain gifts from being given to our kids because we're trying to teach them to live simply and give generously for Christ. And I've sat across from individuals over many years of ministry who have said hurtful things because I'm trying to lead a youth group or lead a church to follow the Great Commission. And I say all of that not so that you will feel sorry for me, not so you will have sympathy or empathy. And in fact, don't. Because there are many Christians all around the world who are suffering way worse things than what I will probably ever experience. I say that to show you that living for Jesus leads to suffering and leads to persecution. The two go hand in hand. But here's the real kicker. Not only are we to expect suffering and persecution in this life, but look at what Jesus tells us in verse 12. He has the audacity to say, "Rejoice and be glad." And yes, your translation hasn't been altered. That is exactly what it says. Rejoice and be glad. We are to be glad. We're to rejoice when we're called names, when we're criticized, when we're rejected by others for living in light of the gospel. And Jesus gives the reason twice. He says, first at the end of 12, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And again in verse 12, sorry, 10 earlier, in verse 12 he says, where he says, "Your reward is great in heaven." Jesus is saying that when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, it's proof. It's proof that we have been saved. It's proof that one day in the future we will be raised to new life. Just think about that. If you knew you were going to suffer, there's not hardly any of us who says, "You know what? This is the path to suffering. I'm going to choose that." And so what Jesus is saying here is, if you're choosing that, there's something different about your heart than in a heart of someone who's following the ways of the world. There's something different. There's something crazy new about you that would cause you to choose that path. And so if you're willing to suffer, if you're willing to follow Jesus, even if it means suffering, it means that God has done something in your life before that. God has given you this new heart that we talked about last week. When people go through the U.S. citizenship process at the very end, when they have all the paperwork filled out, when they've taken the test, when they've swore their oath, they receive this certificate. And it's to symbolize that they are now a U.S. citizen. It's proof that they are now a citizen here in the U.S. In the same way, when we live for Jesus and are rejected by family or friends or neighbors or co-workers because of it, that persecution, that suffering that we endure, it's a certificate symbolizing that our citizenship is in heaven now. It symbolizes that our eternal destiny is different. It's proof that we belong to Jesus, that we are not of this world. Persecution is proof that God has saved us and changed our hearts to want to live in light of the gospel despite the cost. And that is why you and I can rejoice when we suffer persecution. Because it's living proof that we have been saved. And that leads us to our final point this morning. an encouragement for us to believe that we can rejoice when we live for Jesus and suffer persecution, because it is proof that we are saved by God. So church, the next time you share the gospel with someone and they unfriend you, rejoice. Because your sharing the gospel is evidence that God has saved you and changed you. For our youth, the next time that you take a stand against such thing as underage drinking or premarital sex, and you're teased by others, rejoice. Because it's evidence that you are taking a stand in order to live for Christ. And you wouldn't do that unless God had saved you. And the next time that Satan causes any of us hardship and suffering because we're living in light of the gospel, may we actually rejoice and thank him, because he's reminding us that our citizenship is in heaven. And the suffering he is causing is proof of that. Whatever persecution we suffer as we live for Jesus, may you and I rejoice, because the kingdom of God is ours. And because of that, church, we are blessed. Let's pray. God, we love you, and we thank you again for your word this morning. And Father, we pray that as we continue to meditate on these words this week, as we continue to allow them to go deep down into our hearts, that Father, that you would change and reshape and reform what we have previously believed about persecution. That we would be continually reminded of the good news of the gospel, that you were someone who was hated by the world first, that you were rejected by the world. And you suffered. Not because you had done anything wrong, but because you had lived perfectly for God. And we thank you that that sacrifice makes it possible for us to know you, to be accepted, to be loved. And Father, as we remember the good news of the gospel, Father, as we encounter situations, Father, when we may suffer, when we may face persecution, as we live in light of the gospel, Father, may you give us the courage, the boldness we need. And Father, after we suffer, after we endure the hardship, may you work in us to rejoice. Rejoice because it's evidence of the work that you've done in our hearts, of the work you've done in our lives, and of the salvation that we will one day receive when we meet you in heaven. Father, we thank you for the persecution we have faced in the past. We thank you for the opportunities we will have in the future. We thank you most of all for the persecution your Son endured. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.